Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning, everybody. There's no particular update or headline in the so-called war on terror this morning. Perhaps the big news is how little Osama bin Laden is in the headlines, and the fight to find him makes it into the news. But this morning, in an extraordinary chronicle of the war against al-Qaeda has appeared in the New York Times, reporter Mark Mazzetti joins us. It's an extraordinary piece of reporting work that documents the attacks and the attempt to find and capture Osama bin Laden and to degrade al-Qaeda, which, of course, is responsible for the 9/11 attacks. Mark Mazzetti, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Where are we in the fight for bin Laden? Let's just start with that. Where do we stand at this moment, and what capabilities do we think that we have?
Well, most intelligence officials in the United States agree that Al-Qaeda is, if not as strong as they were on September 10th, 2001, certainly have relocated their base of operations into the tribal areas. There are a band of training camps in the tribal areas from which American officials believe that al-Qaeda is currently plotting attacks against Western targets, even the United States.
Let's unpack the details of that a little bit. Now, it's long been believed that Osama bin Laden was operating, or his whereabouts personally were inside Pakistan, or at least in the northwest frontier border provinces that are so inaccessible to U.S. officials. You're now beginning to report that a fairly large infrastructure exists wholly inside Pakistan, and what does that consist of?
Well, it consists of not only training camps, but an intricate communication network allowing senior officials to communicate with each other in sometimes very archaic ways, and at the same time elude any kind of detection from Western intelligence, spy satellites, that type of thing. And what we tried to do in the story was to sort of examine how we got to this position, how here we are 7 years after September 11th, al-Qaeda got to back to this position of strength. What happened in Washington, what happened in Islamabad, and kind of what went wrong along the way.
Of course, many would argue that al-Qaeda's ability to train is probably not as good as it used to be, since they can't train outside. The facilities that you're talking about in your piece are roofed over, are covered over. Whatever training takes place has to take place outside of the surveillance of U.S. satellites. So there must be some degradation here.
And there have been a number of dozens of strikes, these predator strikes that the CIA runs with these drone airplanes that strike at fairly senior al-Qaeda officials. So it does, these strikes keep them on the run, they keep them on their toes, and these are some of the successes that the Bush administration cites. At the same time, another concern is that these predator strikes are only kind of create more problems. They're remote controlled. You end up killing the person who you would rather capture to gain intelligence from, and that person might have led you to bin Laden or some of his senior deputies.
And you complicate relations between the U.S. and Pakistan with some of these raids. Describe, first of all, what the state of that relationship is and how it keeps us from acting inside Pakistan. And perhaps the most disturbing thing about your piece of all is the interagency squabbles that continue inside the Bush administration and the Pentagon that prevents the U.S. military from taking action.
Yeah, and this is one of the interesting things. I mean, there's a passionate debate on both sides about how much the United States can and should do in Pakistan, how much our relationship with the Pakistanis will bear, and whether there would be any value in having small teams of American special operations troops who believe they have decent intelligence to launch strikes. How beneficial would it be to go into the tribal areas and launch these strikes? Or, and what if something went wrong? If a helicopter got shot down, if American troops were killed in Pakistan, it could be a kind of a Black Hawk Down scenario. And so the people who argue against these raids say, on a cost-benefit analysis, the costs are just way too large.
But you say that there are special operations teams ready to go and that they've consistently been held back.
Well, there has been there's a great amount of frustration at the Pentagon and in the special operations community, people who believe they look at the intelligence reports and they say they believe they could do more. They believe that they train for these types of missions to capture or kill senior people, and that they would be able to do it without the repercussions that some in the administration worry about. Late last year, as we say in our story, the administration actually took a step of drafting a new plan to make it easier for the Pentagon to do these types of operations. But it's been more than 6 months, and nothing has been approved, and sort of the level of bitterness has only increased.
And how would you describe those tensions between Pakistan and the United States, and then Pakistan and the Northwest Province leaders in moving forward? And is there some way out?
Well, right now, it seems very much in a holding pattern. I mean, the Bush administration, in a way, got lucky after the September 11th attacks in having an alliance with President Musharraf of Pakistan. But as we report in our story, that became, in some ways, a crutch where we relied so much on Musharraf, and we trusted him to take action in the tribal areas. And in many cases, he didn't. He had advisors who never really saw the threat that the United States saw. Now, in the current situation with the new government, it's even harder because it's a democratic elected government. They're trying to get on their feet, and rightfully, the United States is concerned about destabilizing this government.
Mark Mazzetti of the New York Times, let me ask you one more question. You conclude your article, which again involves enormous amounts of reporting in and outside of the administration, with a quote from someone from the RAND Corporation who suggests that in 8 years of this war on terror with al-Qaeda in Pakistan and Afghanistan, the net effect of U.S. efforts is to move the headquarters from a distance that is equivalent to New York to Philadelphia. Do you think that's a fair characterization of the impact we've had on al-Qaeda?
Well, I think in terms of the ability of the leadership to operate, that is true, that they've been able to relocate east. There has been good successes. There have been some great successes against al-Qaeda.
All right, however, Mark. Well, we're going to move on. We've got actually someone on the line from Sharm el-Sheikh at the African Union meeting on Zimbabwe, Mark. So we're going to have to let you go, all right?
All right. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Mark Mazzetti, an extraordinary piece in the New York Times on the hunt for bin Laden in today's paper.